Hello everyone and welcome back to episode 239 of your favourite Formula One show. Yes, Jamie and I return this week to preview the Canadian Grand Prix. Of course, if you missed out on the worst podcast, arguably, we've ever done earlier on in the week, go back, check it out. It was quite a fun one. We had to smash through lots of things and talk about Barcelona, but heading to Montreal this weekend, Jamie. First of all, how are we doing? Second of all, there's quite a lot to talk about.
I'm doing well, yes. I'm just about getting used to the British time zone again, which is nice. And I'm about to ruin it by travelling. I was gone for 10 days, and now I'm going to go Eastern Europe and ruin my time zone even more. So that's fantastic. Yes, Canada is here this weekend, and there is actually quite a lot to talk about. So, yeah, let's not mess about and let's get straight into it.
No, first of all, we are going to mess about. I'm sorry. I'm going to be very unprofessional here. So Jamie and I wrapped up the podcast. We recorded that Monday night. And I said to him, obviously, I was like, as we normally do, at the end of one podcast, we plan when we're going to do the next one. So I said to Jamie, I was like, are you obviously around? Thursday mornings is normally when we do our preview shows. He was like, yes. And then casually slid into conversation that he's just casually going to Bucharest this weekend. Don't really know why. He's just the way the other half live, ladies and gentlemen.
It's for a stag do. I didn't have a choice.
The jet setter life is unbelievable. I mean,
there will not be any podcast recorded in Bucharest because it is a long weekend and I'm back on Monday. So no worries about the podcast this time.
I think, honestly, you might be worse than Taylor Swift when it comes to your luxury jet setter lifestyle.
I am flying on Ryanair, so if Taylor Swift wants to do that, be my guest.
I think Taylor Swift on a Ryanair flight would be absolutely incredible. Anyway, let's smash through a few of the smaller pieces, first of all, then, Jamie. First of all, and probably the least surprising thing, Lance Stroll, he's back this weekend. There was a bit of uncertainty around it, but it has finally been confirmed. It does mean Felipe Drugovich is able to attend Le Mans. Good news. I mean, it's news. It's there. It's happened. It's true again.
I think he was never going to miss Canada, really, was he?
No.
Given that he raced at the start of 23 with like half a wrist, you know, he's got a bit of a track record of pushing through pain, and you know, he's been in F1. Eight years.
Seasons? So we've had a good track record of pushing through pain, watching him attempt to be an F1 driver.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, it's his home race. To be fair to Stroll, he is actually somewhat popular in Canada, obviously, because he's the only Canadian driver on the grid.
I think you'd be surprised.
Nicholas Latifi.
He's not that followed, to be completely honest, apart from people that just like him in Canada because he's Canadian. I was speaking to Gary about this, and he was kind of there going, the problem is Stroll's never really been associated much with being a Canadian. Because, of course, when you're so ultra-wealthy like his family are, you know, he never kind of spent that. Yeah. He doesn't know about Canada a lot, apart from trying to do Tim Hortons adverts.
He's not exactly a man of the people, is he?
No, exactly. Unless the people is either the Reform candidates or the Tory party, if the case setting is
brilliant.
We won't get political.
Let's not get into that.
Knowing Politics, our new spin-off show.
Oof.
That would be
a dangerous game.
That would be a terrible game for us, but I rate it.
Yeah. Do you buy that it was his own fault for breaking his hand when he hit the wall? Like, physically punched a wall in the garage?
No, of course not. That was definitely a lie. I still firmly believe this is the start of Aston Martin trying to shift him.
Possibly. And it would make sense because, you know, they're courting Max Verstappen quite a lot. And, well, the upgrades, the very low-hanging fruit upgrades that Newey's put on have seemed to make a good step forward. Yeah, I don't know. I think medium term, obviously, if they're going to be winning world championships, it will become even more obvious that Stroll isn't up to the calibre. Because in the midfield, you can kind of blame circumstances quite a lot. But if suddenly your teammate's winning races and you're in, you know, 12th, 13th, like that is happening at Red Bull at the moment or last season, you do not last long at the top.
No, exactly. But, I mean, it still feels a little bit like a step into the unknown, doesn't it? Of, you know, the big question, of course, always, like we say, is will Red Bull be that competitive? Will Aston Martin even be that competitive as well in the future? But, yeah, like I said, I still believe this is potentially the start of the slow kind of, get rid of Lance, but do it in such a way that it doesn't look like it's the fact he's terrible and actually it's his injuries and this, that, and the other. You know, he's been a huge, important role in the team and he's been here for years. I guarantee when they announce that he's going, they will say he's been a hugely important role in the team for X amount of years. And they're going, yeah, because daddy pays the bills.
Well, he got a pole position and a few podiums back in the day for Racing Point.
He has had a couple of podiums, hasn't he? He's just one of those drivers as well that, like, when people point out his pole position and his podiums, I'm kind of there going, give me that much time in a Formula One car, I reckon I could ship out a pole position or a podium every once in a while. He still hasn't had one for Aston Martin.
No, but then there's only been what? Oh, no, I guess Alonso got about 7, didn't he? I was thinking only Vettel.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's quite an interesting tactic of Lawrence Stroll. Instead of just having a hard conversation with your son, he just keeps employing multiple world champions to bully him out of the sport instead.
Yeah, but Vettel was a fantastic move by them because, of course, we always were going on about it. People hated us saying that Vettel was washed up for years. And obviously that was great because Lance wasn't that far away from him. It's something mad. Like, I don't think Stroll, or like he's outqualified Alonso something ridiculous like 5 times and he's like 50 starts. It's like 55 starts and he's like outqualified him 5 times or something.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But to be fair, he's somehow got 14 points this season.
To Alonso.
To Alonso's one.
But again.
Two. When did Alonso got 2?
He's got 2, what? Sorry. He was P9 in Spain, wasn't he? Because Max got penalised.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Just kind of that whole thing of, like I said, you give anybody enough, like any high enough caliber driver.
Yeah.
Enough to, like, someone that's done F3 and all that kind of. I know he didn't do F2, but you give them enough chances, they're always, like, the cards are always going to fall the right way at some point, unless you're hilariously bad.
And in my head, he's someone of the similar caliber to, like, your Mick Schumachers or your Joe Guan Yus. Like, the kind of driver that you'd have a few seasons is probably okay.
3 years, but, max. Yeah. Normally.
Like Marcus Ericsson, that kind of level.
Yeah.
Although Ericsson's a bit of a baller now,
just in a better team than any of those guys were given. Like, you're always going to end up getting a random good result here or there.
In the second best car in 2020.
Yeah, third best, but yeah. Let's talk a little bit more. We've got a few other bits and pieces, haven't we, Jamie? Arvid Lindblad. I understand why they've done this, but it still is kind of, I think, people are trying to make more of a deal out of this than it is. Because, of course, he's been given special dispensation for a super license, which people are going, wow, does that mean he's replacing Liam Lawson? No, it's just because he can't drive a Formula One car in free practice otherwise. It's just to get him in for some free practice runs in the Red Bull.
It'll be Silverstone, won't it, basically?
Most likely.
Home Grand Prix for him. I think this is being blown out of proportion a little bit, but, you know, it's nice for him. He's currently 17. He's turning 18 by the end of the year.
He's 18 in August, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. So he can't, because of the Max Verstappen rule, they changed it so that you can't drive until you're 18 for whatever reason, because Max was such a failure.
I was going to say,
obviously.
Yeah, it was such a bad call putting Max in the car at 17.
So people are saying, well, does this mean that, like, Red Bull are going to sack someone and Lindblad takes a seat? There's a lot of talk about Isaac Hadjar going to the senior team. But is it even senior at this point? They might as well just run 3 RBs and 1 Red Bull.
I think they should run 4 RBs, just because I would simply like to know what Max could do in one.
Yeah. It would be quite fun. I reckon young driver's test at the end of the year. Just give Max the RB. See what he does. He'd probably go faster.
Why don't Red Bull ever do that? Like, especially this year. It's the end of the generation and stuff. That would be so cool.
It'd be embarrassing for them if the RB was quicker, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but it would still be cool for us.
It would be cool for us, but then they're not in the game to embarrass themselves and make it an interesting spectacle.
They've still got Christian Horner in charge. That's pretty embarrassing.
Yes. But Lindblad, he will probably be driving an RB next season, I would say.
I can't see him not. If he kicks on in F2 like he has done. I can't remember where he is, but he's fairly decent in standing.
He's in the top 5, I think. It's a bit of a mismatch.
It's all a bit over
the third,
place. He's third, at the moment. 8 points off leader. I want to see Fornaroli win it, despite not winning a race again.
Well, I predicted Fornaroli to win it at the start of the year, I believe. So
I don't believe
you
did.
I don't know, my top 3. I definitely...
you did say Fornaroli. There you said four normally. I said Beganovic. Where's Beganovic? Sorry, he is
Beganovic
10th.
Is 10th.
Oh, dearie me.
He's got 1 point score in the last four rounds. Well, so that's going well.
To be fair, Monaco and Spain are a bit eggy.
There we go. But yes, I think the Red Bull seats will not change. This is a bold prediction, actually. They will not change before the end of the season.
No, I can't see him shifted around again.
And then they'll stick Hadjar in a Red Bull at the end of the year.
Yeah, unless Hadjar does something crazy, then I can see
him. I think he's already doing well enough. It's just
he is, absolutely.
They're going to repeat what happened with Liam Lawson if they stick him in at the moment, aren't they? Or Albon, or Gasly, or long list of other drivers. The only one who's been decent for a decent amount of time is Perez, and to be fair to him, in hindsight, Perez doesn't look that bad, does he?
No, I think that's why he's going to be back on the grid next year. Is when you actually look through the data, and again, it's kind of, we've seen with Albon as well, like, and with Gasly, of course, that it's very easy to rebuild your career as well if you're given it. Like, there must be a huge, like, if you're a Cadillac or a Williams or one of these teams that is going to be slightly lower down the grid, you would argue that a Red Bull reject could theoretically be fantastic value for money, but it's just about which one you go with.
Yeah, because, I mean, at the end of the year, I would imagine that both Tsunoda and Lawson would be quite available on the cheap.
Most likely.
And yeah, there's two very decent caliber drivers there, especially Tsunoda. I think Lawson's good, but he's, not doing himself many favours this season.
Yeah, Lawson desperately needs to get himself, as I've said with Hadjar as well, needs to get himself out of the Red Bull. Like, unless Hadjar is, like, going somewhere else, Lawson, I think, needs to get out because he's going to be the one that's going to get kicked to the curb. But, I mean, like we said before, you look through Liam Lawson's track record, he's won in everything else he's ever stepped in. He's clearly, naturally, a very good racing driver.
Adaptable as well.
But V-Carb just isn't working for him. It's working better than Red Bull was, of course, but it's still not looking fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think there'll be a few seats available at the end of the year. We'll see. Especially with the new two coming in at Cadillac. So,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Assuming one of them goes to Perez, which I said back in January, or back when it was announced.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, once Mexico was confirmed, we kind of all knew, didn't we, that it was going to be Perez sticking around. I mean, that leads us nicely, though, Jamie, because as I've said before, I think Isaac Hadjar needs to be talking to Alpine. And especially now, because after us being told that Colapinto was safe forever, rumour on the street is that time is ticking for the Argentinian.
Yes. And, you know, one swallow doesn't make a summer in terms of he had three good races at the start of his Williams career. And then, realistically, if you combine the end of last season and his first three races of this season,
he's just
really not been delivering. Well, interestingly, the three things that Fabio Briatore said were be fast, don't crash, score points.
Yep.
And to be honest, none of those are being ticked at the moment.
Nope.
And yeah, he's been a step behind Gasly. He's not had much confidence in the car. You can allow Monaco. And to be fair, he wasn't that bad at Imola until he crashed it in Q1. Which obviously
he was good in free practice.
He was good in free practice.
Wow.
And yeah, that's kind of knocked his confidence, I think. So his initial contract was five races, wasn't it? So he's got...
I don't know whether it was or not. Doohan's was, but we don't actually know where Colapinto's was.
They said Colapinto was the driver for the next five races when he was announced.
Okay.
So that would take him to after Silverstone.
I mean, and you wouldn't get rid of him before the summer break, sensibly.
Probably not, but then you've got, what's he called? Estonian.
Paul Aaron,
yeah. Or, potentially, like Liam Lawson, if they really wanted to go there. Cost a bit of money mid-season, I think, but...
Oh, a lot of money mid-season. Red Bull will have clauses on those drivers because they can, basically.
But then, clearly, Red Bull don't think he's a long-term prospect. So if someone comes calling, they're just going to get a bit of money for him and let him go, surely.
But the point is, they'll obviously charge a lot of money because, they again, for like a Lawson or a Hadjar, your only option in Formula 1 was through Red Bull. They're going to basically put whatever number they like on that contract and you're going to be in trouble if someone else comes knocking. But it's basically obviously just to stop, a Ferrari, a Mercedes obviously, I was going to say a Red Bull, but of course that doesn't work. But obviously the teams that can throw basically any number at drivers now because of the budget cap.
Yeah.
It's going to make life difficult. I mean, the thing, like we said, Alpine surely it isn't just going to become a revolving door of drivers alongside Gasly. Like, it's not a good look. I know we've kind of said Alpine is not really a factory team and won't be a factory team as of next year, but it's still not great.
Not at all. And yeah, Colapinto clearly made his career off of replacing Logan Sargeant. So, yeah. I remember when he was announced before Monza last year, we were kind of like, that's surprising, because he wasn't doing particularly well in F2.
I think he was like sixth in F2 or something at the time.
He was sixth or seventh, wasn't he? And, you know, it's all right, but it was...
But F2 is not a good barometer anymore either. This is the other problem. Well, it's not at all. F2 gives you no idea anymore about how good an F1 driver can be.
And there was definitely, I would say, six or seven drivers that looked better quality in F2. So you got, you know, obviously like your Behemans, your Antonellis, your Bortoletto won last year, didn't he?
Yes. Even Hadjar.
Like Hadjar as well. And like, yeah, there's a lot of drivers in F2 last season who you would say they are more ready than Franco Colapinto. But to be fair to him, he smashed it in the first three races at Williams and then smashed it up in the following three. So, yeah.
I mean, just to be fair, he's basically become a bit of a Nyck de Vries, to be honest.
Well, a little bit.
He just got in, obviously had one great result, and then basically just spends his time crashing up cars.
Two good results, to be fair.
Yeah, but still.
Yeah, it is very true. I don't know if they'll keep him after his 5-race contract, to be honest.
I think, like we said, they'll keep him until the summer break. I don't think they'll want to do a swap before the summer break again. I mean, let's be fair, again, we're kind of not talking about him either. Let's not forget, in his last race for them, Jack Doohan out-qualified Gasly, then got completely Liam Lawson at turn one. But the pace was genuinely building for Doohan.
Yeah, that's the thing. I do wonder if they've taken a
they
at most a side
shot
step.
Themselves in the foot. Yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if they've, you know, made their driver lineup worse, which hopefully no Argentinians are watching, because then we're in trouble.
No, I'm not too worried. I mean, I'm trying to have a look. Even like the Alpine Juniors in F2 aren't doing that great. You've got Alex.
Well, Mini's there, isn't he?
Gabriele Mini is 12th.
Is he? He's one of those drivers who is a quality driver, just getting a bit unlucky in my head.
No, I don't like him particularly. I mean, Victor Martins, I don't believe... He might still be an Alpine Junior this year. He's 8th overall.
No, he's Williams now, isn't he? I thought he moved.
Yes, he is, isn't he? Of course. Richard Vachon, of course, no one's going to sign him, because why would you? you're kind of just looking at it. I mean, could you go with a Fornaroli, potentially? I guess
he's McLaren, is he not, Fornaroli?
No, I don't believe so. And it's just that bizarre thing as well. Like, you think for a team like Alpine, it's going to be... You're constantly like in... It's what I think about. It's like you're in a French petrol station, and there's like a sign of like Gasly and Doohan holding some random French thing. And then obviously they've had to scrape that off and put Colapinto in. You're then going to have to scrape that off to put Paul Aaron in. Like, if he gets the drive, of course. You kind of think, it just looks so bad. But then again, when have Alpine ever made a decision that doesn't look so bad in recent years in Formula 1? It's just true. What Alpine does.
I wonder if they almost just commit to this Mercedes relationship and take one of their young drivers. But then they don't really have any that are ready.
Yeah, now you've got... Obviously, Behrman put in. I mean, Mercedes and McLaren have a deal that basically means they can swap drivers around. Maybe Dunn could go to Alpine next year through that, because he's leaving F2 at the moment.
He's not fantastic, is he?
Well, he's winning F2. He's won two features. I know,
but
let's not forget. Sorry, he's winning F2. He didn't even compete in Australia, if I remember correctly.
Fair enough. Maybe he's all right. I do quite like Paul Aaron. I don't know why I like him, but watching F2 in 2024,
he's a good guy.
Yeah. I would like to see him have a go, but then also I wouldn't have that high hopes. He'd be another like Joe Schumacher, Mick Schumacher, that is, caliber driver.
Yeah.
Paul Aaron's the next Michael Schumacher. You heard it here first.
I mean, he could be for all we know. He could be. Alpine have got to try and do. But again, it's the Flavio Briatore way, isn't it? he'll make yeah. one good decision that he'll bank on for 20 years, and the rest is just quite woeful. For some reason, people just don't see it, for some reason, which is rather peculiar, but there we are. What else have we got, Jamie? We're going to save calendar. The new calendar for a moment. Are we going? Okay. Do we want to do that first, or do we want to talk about Canada?
They rhyme really well, don't they? Let's talk about the tyres, because everyone loves tyre chat.
We do love tyre chat.
We've got the 4, 5, and 6 pack, which I'm very excited for.
Yes.
Because they are the super soft, the ultra soft, and the hyper soft equivalent from back in the day. Back in the day. I'm very excited for chewing gum tyres, basically. And it should, please don't let it be a one stop. Just anything.
I can see it being a one stop, especially with how short the pit lane is here. I can see this being a real two-stop. I don't know what the weather's looking like this weekend in Montreal.
It's clear. I had a look already. Or it's like cloudy, but probably won't rain.
Yeah, no chance of rain. Yeah, that's fair enough.
So, yeah, I'm just hoping for somewhere between a 2 and a 3 stop would be fantastic. Even a close strategy between 1 and 2, I just don't want it to be a clear-cut anything, basically.
Yeah, I mean, Spain worked quite well. That was a 2 and a 3 stop, wasn't it? So if we get another one like that. That would be quite interesting.
Without a late safety car that forces Max onto hards, please.
Well, forces Max Verstappen into having a temper tantrum. I want to see that again. I quite happily
GP
see
GP did that.
are we going to see a race ban for Max Verstappen, Jamie?
I don't think we will. What I really hope happens is there's a borderline incident.
We want to see it like a Grosjean 2018, like we spoke about last time. One that's not even borderline, but they just don't give him a race ban for.
I think if it's a stonewall, like ignoring yellow flags or blocking ignoring and qualifying, yellow flags, like obvious blocking and qualifying. Yeah.
But those ones are very clear cut. I'm talking about an incident.
Yeah. I hope we have an incident where they don't give him a penalty point and the whole of Twitter just goes into meltdown. I would love that.
That would be quite fun.
I wonder if they're prepping Lindblad with a super license just in case. That's a good point.
Could be.
They'll obviously stick Hadjar into Red Bull for a race.
Yeah, I suppose that would work, wouldn't it? Perhaps we haven't thought about this.
That'd be funny. There's no way. There's no way it happens. But I would, because in my head, the championship's done at this point.
straight given up, have you?
Literally. I was all my hopes were on Spain. Spain didn't fix anything. Right, Piastri it is. Team Piastri, let's go.
Deary me. Like I said, I still think, you know, Red Bull, if they could find something over the summer. But of course, you're kind of at the point now as well with a lot of teams. Like, why on earth would you continue investing in this year?
Exactly.
It's always the bizarre thing, isn't it, of course, of, again, with the budget cap now, it's kind of broken it in a certain regard of, you know, if you're a Ferrari, you're going to finish fourth this year, most likely. They're second at the last weekend. Maybe you do keep investing. But again, the prize money for the top teams now, you're going to bring in that money anyway.
Yeah, like, if you finish, they're going to hit their cost cap regardless.
Exactly, of what prize money you get. So it's kind of irrelevant for the big teams. And for everybody else, you know, you want to be investing in next year anyway. Have you heard, Jamie, Haas have finally bought a proper truck for the European races, hospitality area.
Have they seriously had one in the last 10 years?
They have had one, but it's been terrible. Like, they've had to kick sponsors out to have driver meetings and stuff. Wow. But now it's got two separate spaces. The drivers have their own bathrooms now. It's crazy. But it is a good sign, though, genuinely. We need to read more into this, because it does mean Gene Haas is finally willing to invest in that team, which is important.
It is, because clearly I think 26 is going to be a good one. And I think, as long as Ollie Behrman's there, they've obviously got a very high caliber driver who's only going to get better. So,
and Esteban Ocon, race winner.
And Esteban Ocon's there too. And they've got a livery. We haven't spoken about that yet. They have a throwback.
I'm so happy with that. It looks so good, man.
I don't care. It's Haas.
That 2016 Haas was so good, though.
On the livery in 2016, it looks really basic, but it looked nice.
Yeah, but sometimes basic clean liveries are good.
They are, yeah. It reminded me of, in 2017, when they introduced a special livery for Monaco and then just kept it. They just didn't bother getting rid of it for the rest of the season. Yeah. So I wonder if that might happen again.
I would rate that.
Yeah, we'll see. But it's an all right livery. It looks good. I don't really care for Haas that much since Hulk left. So,
what's really scary is the fact they've done 200 Grand Prix. That's what's scary about this.
That is a bit mental, isn't it? And we must be up to... F1000 was in 2019. So we must be at F1100 by now.
Oh, we're at like F1150 or something.
Wow. Yeah. And Haas have been here for like 20% of the history of F1.
Exactly. If you roll a dice...
In terms of races.
If you pick any race, sorry, at random, if you spin a wheel of every Formula 1 race, there's now like 17% odds that Haas have been in it. Current Haas, not even the old Haas team in the 80s.
Yeah. Well. I think Toro Rosso / AlphaTauri / RB have been in almost 400 races now, because their 200th race was that F1000, which is a bit mad.
Yeah, it was worth it. So they're about the same as Lewis, aren't they? Or they've got like 16 or 18 races more than Lewis.
Yeah, one season more than Hamilton. Yeah.
So it's only Alonso still has more races than...
That's a cash out racing.
Well, it's like if you span a wheel now, like there's over a 33% chance Alonso has competed in that Grand Prix. And bear in mind, he took two seasons out. Like Alonso could legitimately make, like if he hadn't taken 2 years out, could legitimately have made 500 Grand Prix, which would put him up like 40% of all F1 races ever. Which is,
and if you combine him and Ricardo Patrese, he'd be up to like 60%.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a good overlap there. I wonder, actually, someone's got to tell us down in the comments below, what's the minimum amount of Formula One drivers you'd need to cover every race of all time?
That's a great question.
I reckon it's probably still quite high. I would say it's probably in like 20-odd. But Alonso takes up obviously a huge amount suddenly.
Yeah, although with Alonso, you would then need someone to cover off 19 and 20.
But then you put Raikkonen in and you've covered off those two seasons and a couple of seasons earlier on. So then you could put, like, say, Jean Alesi in, which takes you back to the late 80s.
Yeah.
That is, can find us the data for this, I will be astounded. And we're not talking just competing in a race every season. We're talking about every single Formula One race.
That includes the Indy 500s, which you just have to find one American in India.
So there's going to be 10 Americans just lobbed in there. Genuinely, if someone can find us that information, we will shout you out in the next podcast.
And then the one after will be a quiz on every driver in that list.
Exactly. It'll be fantastic. Do we want to do Montreal predictions, Jamie?
We haven't done a calendar yet.
No, we'll talk about our calendar in a minute. We'll do this first.
Right, predictions. Oscar Piastri.
I was going to say, thank you.
You are on 24 points. Yep. I'm on 28 points.
Yep. Oscar. I'm going to say Lando. Oscar. I've given that you a really easy one there. P3, George Russell. Mercedes have often done well here in recent years.
So no Max in the top three.
No Max in the top three. Didn't I say that last week? Oh no,
I think Canada's a bit like Imola in my head.
Is it? In what world?
Lots of chicanes, lots of medium speed corners.
Imola has one slow speed chicane?
It's got the first two complexes of both chicanes a bit like Canada. No, they're not. Well, in the comments, I think I'm right, obviously. Imola and Canada are quite similar.
I would not say so.
So, for that reason, I will say I'm going to match you on Piastri pole.
No, come on, you've got to go.
Okay, Max Verstappen on pole. Okay. Max Verstappen win.
Okay.
Norris P2, Piastri P3.
Okay, I like it.
So after hyping up Piastri like 5 minutes ago.
Neither of us thinking. Yeah, I mean, Oscar Piastri will now win this weekend.
Exactly.
Like, we're just going to make that very clear right now. Let's talk about it then, Jamie. The big talking point of this week's show, why I'm sure everyone has come to this. We've got 15 minutes-ish still. Let's rant about the F1 2026 calendar, because there's...
Are we ranting?
I'm ranting. Are you not ranting?
I mean, I don't care about other motorsports, so...
That's the big one for me. I might genuinely watch Indy over Montreal as a bit of a boycott. Because I think what Formula 1
that will show him.
No, but I genuinely... Like, it's a horrible route F1 have gone down with this. Like a horrible kind of divide and conquer style idea that I'm not a fan of.
They've clearly done it for their net zero aims, haven't they? Because having Miami and Montreal next to each other.
Yeah, which would make sense if they weren't 3 weeks apart. Who's going to stay in North America in that time? It's just a European-centric sport.
And also, South Florida to South Canada is like a 10-hour flight still. Maybe not that much. Maybe 6 hours.
Four or five, yeah. Let me have a look. Montreal to Miami. Carry on.
So it's a bit of a token gesture from F1 because...
3.5 hours.
A few years ago, they said that they're going to align the calendar to be more sensible, which, for all intents and purposes, has made a bit of sense in the last couple of years, having all the tracks that are near each other grouped together. Great, we love that.
Yeah, there's still a bit of work to do, but yeah.
There is, yeah. But this one, yeah, they're 3 weeks apart. They're like 1,000 miles apart or something, excuse me. And it's ruined F1's Christmas party of Monaco and Indy 500. Even though all we ever do is complain about how bad Monaco is, it's still a spectacle.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, also, the fact that... Why does Belgium just keep shifting forward? I don't get it.
It hasn't shifted forward again, to be fair. It's in the same spot it was last year. It's just because, obviously, Imola's gone and Madrid's been put after it. So it's kind of exactly where it was. We've just got another race after it and one less race before.
Yeah, it's not even next to the summer break anymore. So now it's
but
the
it's
one
not
before
next to the summer break this year.
Is it not? Oh.
No, Hungary is after it this year as well. That's what I mean.
That is stupid. Okay.
It is. It is really stupid. What I couldn't find out, Jamie, and I don't know whether it has been confirmed or not, is where the sprints are next year. Because I saw, what was it, Zandvoort has got one.
Yeah, Zandvoort claimed they've got one. I don't think it's been announced.
Yeah, this is what I can work out.
I think they'll stick with six. It feels like they're being a bit
They'll keep six, but where?
Yeah, because Zandvoort have already announced that 2026 is their last one.
Yes.
And they've got a sprint. So.
But have they got a sprint? Like, nobody knows.
Well, according to them, they have. I think they'd be quite bold to just assume they've got one.
But why do we not know what the other sprints are? And why on earth would you give Zandvoort a sprint in the first place? It'd be useless.
That's true. Although 2026 F1 cars, you never know. Maybe they're insane.
Yeah. Maybe they're just insane on banked corners. Montreal is going to become the Indy 500.
So apparently Zandvoort, you'd assume Austria because it always has one. Oh, there's
no,
but
it doesn't this year either. This is my point.
Oh, no.
I assume they'll still give... I mean, Miami doesn't... I'd rather have a Vegas sprint than a Miami sprint, honestly.
Or a COTA sprint, to be honest.
COTA has a sprint already.
Good. They usually announce it a bit later, don't they?
Yeah, so if you have the choice then, Jamie, out of the six, to pick six here again, which six would you go with?
I would go, just trying to get good races, basically. I'd go Bahrain.
Yep. That's a good shame. Or would that ruin the tyre strategy for Sunday, though?
I would like to think, if you homologated the softest tyre for the sprint, you might even do a one-stop at Bahrain. That'd be quite fun.
What they need to do with the sprints, I think, is, say, for example, you're normally using three of the harder sets of tyres, is they bring a fourth tyre just for the sprint.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Again, won't happen.
No.
But it would be cool. I'd go Silverstone, I'd go Brazil, I'd go COTA, and... Yeah, Vegas, why not? That would be my six.
Wait, so sorry, I've only heard four there.
Oh, Bahrain, Silverstone.
Yeah, sorry, Bahrain, Silverstone.
Oh, I did only say five. COTA, Vegas, Brazil.
Yeah.
And Baku, why not?
Because the Baku sprint the last couple of years was terrible when they did it.
Well, it's created the George Russell, Max Verstappen villain era, hasn't
Fair
it?
Enough. Yeah, so. Exactly. So we'll keep with it. I think... I mean, could you do a sprint in Australia? That would be quite funny, wouldn't it? One practice session to kickstart the year.
That would be amazing, I wouldn't get up for it. No chance.
Shanghai, to be fair, is a pretty good racetrack. I think they deserve to keep a sprint for now.
It's ruined Hamilton's pole record since he got one, but it didn't count.
Yeah. Could Canada host a good sprint? I think it could. So I'm going to say Shanghai... Canada. I'm going to give one back to Silverstone. I'm going to say, like you said, Vegas as well. I think it'd be a wild one. I like Qatar Sprint. I think that works, even though that's two back-to-back. And Brazil. Three sprint weekends back-to-back, I'd say.
We'd be so sick of F1 when you get round 21, 22, and 23 a sprint
race. Imagine how good that would be for them trying to manufacture a title race. When it definitely
imagine how bad that would be for F1 26 career mode YouTubers trying to get the end of their season done.
I also think about this. But then again, at the moment, it's like round 21, 20, 19, 21, and 23 anyway. So it's already awful.
True. Anything else to rant about for the calendar?
Madrid
won't happen.
Madrid will happen, Jamie. Give it up. I mean, we've basically, for those of you that aren't aware, we've taken away Imola because we can't have two Italian Grand Prix. so we've gone and given us two Spanish Grand Prix. I mean, it basically just guarantees, isn't it, that Barcelona will be gone soon.
Yeah.
Like, I assume that's why they've kept Barcelona for now, is just in case Madrid doesn't
just in
run.
Case. I think, well, Aston Martin via Fernando Alonso basically announced that this is the last Barcelona race in 26 because they tweeted something that was like, thank you, Catalunya, or something like that in
Spanish. But we all thought this year was, didn't we?
But not as of... No one was leaving the race this year being like, we're never coming back.
We literally spoke about it on the podcast. We thought we were.
True. But then, yeah, the Imola felt very much like a closing chapter.
We knew that one was gone. Yeah.
I don't think Madrid will happen in 2026. I feel like they're still behind schedule and the funding will probably run out knowing the Spanish. So
that funding's already gone.
And it just doesn't look very fun.
You know where we should go? To be fair, there's actually a couple of... Because, of course, we're still in the European leg of the season then. You could easily replace that with a Hockenheim or an Istanbul. And I'd be happy.
Or Nürburgring.
I'd rather Hockenheim, to be honest, if we're going to get a German Grand Prix. But there is the option to throw in another European race that you could just throw.
But we're massively moving towards one Grand Prix per country, apart from America. Which I get, because America's huge. And they're not that, like, what is it, Florida, Nevada and Texas are about as far apart as you can get in the States. So, I don't mind having that many races in America, but having
I'd rather they were better tracks. I'd rather Miami was at a better
Miami
track.
Miami was a better track. Give us a New York street race that won't happen, and then I'm happy with the three.
What I was going to say to you, Jamie, as well, I was looking through this. I genuinely now would quite happily see Bahrain and Jeddah shifted to just before Qatar and Abu Dhabi. Imagine a four-race Middle Eastern leg at the end of the year.
That'd be quite cool. I like the Bahrain being quite early, though, is the problem.
So
but
I always did as well. But again, we talk about all this net zero and everything and trying to make it better. The fact that we go to the Middle East twice in the year is a bit ridiculous.
But the whole point of the Middle East is it's quite central compared to, like, I know we look at it on a map and say, oh, yeah, it's in the middle. But also, the backside of a map is all the Pacific Ocean. So in terms of flights... going from, what would it be, Japan to Miami. Actually, you'd go the other way, wouldn't you? That's irrelevant.
Exactly.
Maybe.
But then again, you go from Vegas to Qatar on the back of the start of a triple header at the end of the year. That's, again, the other thing. Why on earth is there two weekends off between Miami and Montreal? Like, we've only got, I think, one triple header next year, if I'm not mistaken. And that is right at the end. Oh, no, there's two, You've got back-to-back triple headers. At the end of the year.
Gosh, that's going to kill him off, isn't it? Yeah. It's all right. It's a shame about the Monaco thing, but I don't really care. I wouldn't watch Indy 500 anyway. So,
and also, I assume Le Mans is the same weekend as Barcelona, which again is dumb.
Again, you're not going to find much entertainment watching either, really. So,
Le Mans? Are you having a laugh? Brilliant race.
I don't like endurance racing. I got disqualified from Le Mans once on Forza.
Not the real one, Jamie should mention.
Not the real one, yeah.
No, he did on Forza. Somehow Jamie managed to get disqualified in a Forza race, which is quite impressive.
Only by the stewards. The race, the game was fine when we caught
it. No, the game has no track limits. Of course you can do it in the game.
That's why I loved it.
Cannot get over that. That's incredible. Have we got anything else to add, Jamie? I'm just trying to look through. I mean, Zandvoort's going to be gone. What's going to replace Zandvoort, Jamie?
They're on about trying to get one in Africa still, aren't they?
Let's be fair. We're going to get rid of Zandvoort and hopefully Barcelona. You've got two suddenly then that can be slotted in.
Yeah, there's a lot of talk about Rwanda, which I don't think will happen.
Well, it's also Thailand, isn't it? It's the big one now. Or, yeah, Thailand. Bangkok.
Yeah.
Which would be quite cool.
I think they're very pie-in-the-sky ideas. I don't know if it'll actually happen.
No, but Thailand apparently is actually making very good progress.
Interesting.
That'd I don't think cool. the track would be ready for another few years, but that would be quite cool.
That would be. And yeah, they've banged on for ages about getting a race in Africa again. So whether it's Joburg or Rwanda, I think are the main ones. But I don't think that's got enough momentum. I don't think it'll go out to Kailami.
I'd love to see it, but yeah, I honestly don't think, to be fair, Kailami would deliver a particularly good race either, being brutally honest.
No.
I like the track, but it's not well suited to Formula One. But then again, we don't know what the new cars are going to be like. So
yeah, maybe they'll be great.
Come clear. Exactly. We might finally get good racing here. Even Monaco will be carnage.
Oh,
as we said before, Formula E proves that Monaco can be a good race circuit. Just not.
Yeah, make the cars tiny and the drivers worse, and then we're fine.
It's actually the tyres that make the big difference. Like I said, give us skinny tyres at Monaco. And
or grooved tyres.
Or grooved tyres, one or the other. Have we got anything else to add though, Jamie? I think we've rattled through everything we wanted to pretty well.
Yeah, I think we've done all right.
Wonderful. Thank you all, as always, so much for listening. If you have enjoyed, please do make sure, leave a like, get yourself subscribed. We are at, what are we on YouTube, Jamie, right now? We're at 918 subscribers. So please help us against the Google overlords. Get yourself subscribed. That way we get the money, not them. And it means we'll be able to do more podcasts in the future. We want to do an F2 show. We want to do a retro show. All that good stuff. But we need time and money. But yeah, thank you all as always. And we'll be back Monday, hopefully, or Tuesday, to review the Canadian Grand Prix. Might be the sloppiest outro I've ever done.
I think it probably was.